And welcome to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. It is great to be able to gather and worship on this Sunday with all of you. Again, we do not have our choir with us for the summer. We are so grateful to have Audrey Christus. And together we will quiet our hearts and minds and open ourselves to the living God.
invite you all to stand as you are able and join with me in the call to worship. Let us greet God on this new day in one voice. We are met in the presence of God, and we do not meet alone. With the angels in the highest heaven, we gather to worship God. With Abraham and Sarah, we gather to worship the Lord. With the saints of every age, we gather to worship the Lord. We embark on our own journey of faith. God's holy name be praised. God makes of us a great people. God's holy name be praised. In the desert and in the den, in the barrio and in the basilica, God's holy name be praised. We journey in the presence of God, and we do not journey alone. Let us worship together.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 93rd year of the radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4,799. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippard is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled It's Love for Everybody, will be delivered by the Reverend Bobby Holm Lippard. Assisting in the service today are Christopher Tweel and Audrey Christensen. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, which is number 376 in the blue hymnal.
Thank you.
As we come to the Lord, we have a desire in us to greet God with clean hearts. So in that sense of who we are, let us pray together. Gracious God, you call us to a new land, a new birth. Yet our feet and our spirits hesitate. There are hungry people in this world who weep at the sight of food. There are angry men and women who shout hate at the crowds. There are children who go unappreciated, and brothers and sisters who face constant injustice. Forgive our laziness. Forgive our fear. Forgive our selfishness. Forgive our comfort. Be for us a pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Lead us into the new birth of water and the Spirit. Instill in us the knowledge that Christ has not come to condemn us, but instead to save us. Save us, Lord, as only our Creator and Master may. Amen. When faced with the very real image of our sin and the real brokenness of the world, it may be difficult for us to understand that Christ does not come to condemn us. We may feel the weight of our own condemnation on us, but know that in the love and the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and free people, ready to do as God would have us do. Amen. Invite you to your seats. Just take a moment to remind everyone that as we don't have children's church, children's chapel during the summer months, we do have an opportunity for them to take their leave of the adult service as they would wish. There is childcare available in room 102. Let us pray together. Holy God, you have called us as your people to do your work, to be your prophets, to witness to your amazing love and grace in this world. And you do this not because of who we are, not because of who our families are, not because of our age, young or old. You call us because you know us deeply. Intrinsically, you know us. And so as known people, open our hearts and our minds to hear your amazing and wonderful story, the Word of God. Lord, we thank you, and in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are continuing through our sermon series this summer. It's a Back to the Basics series. It's unfolding in Sunday school as well. Sunday school meets 9:45 a.m. in the fellowship hall below here. And going back to the basics, looking at some of the essential tenets of the Reformed tradition and what is it that makes us Presbyterians and what we believe and how those beliefs have implications for how we live. And then here in Sunday worship each week, we're going back to the basics by gathering around certain scriptures in the Bible that are in some way or another foundational. Certainly every scripture, all of scripture, is God-breathed, God-inspired. But there are certain scriptures that the church has seen throughout its 2,000 years as somehow naming the promises of God's gospel and good news in a particularly clear way, in a particularly powerful way. And so we're anchoring ourselves in those fundamental and basic passages of scripture this summer. Our New Testament reading is from John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, so that everybody who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The headlines these days come and go with incredible speed. Terrible news, bad news, okay news, surprising news, scandalous news. It's 24/7. It can be shocking or numbing, boring or biased, tear-inducing or cynical-making. It can be true or false, or a little bit of both. No matter what it is, it becomes fodder for our conversations, our social media posts. It becomes the stuff around which we wrap our angst and our attention. It begs for more and more of our attention through our televisions and computers and radios and, of course, phones and even watches. In some circles, it is seen as a good, even important thing to be conversant about the latest headlines, and so we become conversant about murder trials and election figures and Hollywood tiffs and sports triumphs and scandals. We can rattle off the details and the stats and the latest commentary from the left and the right. I remember eighth grade being the time about when I started to realize what a powerful force headline news is in captivating our attention and our imagination. And this was before social media. But I remember it because it felt so strange that almost overnight, Lance Ito, Marsha Clark, Johnny Cochran, and Cato Kaelin were household names. And I could tell you more about their lives and what they were up to than most of the people in my neighborhood. And that's happened time and again since then. And amid the flurry of all this kind of news, important news and not important news, is the church, who stood for 2,000 years with one single headline, same one every morning, faithful as the sun. It is the good news in a nutshell, as Martin Luther once put it. Our headline, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Next verse is quite important, too. It reads sort of like the subtitle to the headline, which is verse 16. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God loves the world. Not coming into the world to condemn, but to save. Save from the Latin salve, heal. God comes into the world not to condemn the world, but to heal and forgive and reconcile. That's the news, the good news, the eternal headline. And yet, if we're honest, we, even as the church, do not often think deeply about John 3:16. Sure, if a guy at a football stadium holds it up and the camera catches it behind the field goal post, we probably have that moment, oh yes, for God so loved the world. But really, we're far more interested, along with everybody else, in whether the guy makes the field goal or not. And it's hardly a bad thing, of course, to be attentive to the world and informed about our neighborhood, our city, our world, our nation. In fact, it's vital. But why is it that we are so much more likely to pay attention to and get wrapped up in so many of the headlines, the big ones and the unimportant ones and all alike, and pay attention to those and then miss or not know as well the ways John 3:16 and that headline is unfolding in truth every single day in our midst? We know the news stories. We talk about them. We're even shaped by them. Are we catching the good news stories in our midst? Are we talking about them? Are we being shaped perhaps even more profoundly by them? It was recently I thought back to my recently deceased Grandma Weatherby. It was she who first taught me about John 3:16, though it was not through a Bible study. And it's amazing the things you remember when a person dies, but I realized she taught me by standing behind piles of clothes and the way she situated her desk. Little backstory. In 1967, my grandma began a very small sort of food and clothing closet in her church in Cincinnati to meet some of the needs of those in and around the community. Well, the closet quickly became two closets and then took over a whole Sunday school classroom, and eventually it became a full 501c3 called the Valley Interfaith Food and Clothing Center, and it needed and covered the entire basement of a sizable church. And Grandma was the director. Now, growing up, I knew none of this. Didn't know about her position, her story. What I knew was what I saw. What I saw was that even though Grandma was playing an important role, as my mom would say, she had plenty of volunteers at the center, I could often not see my grandma. Because my grandma was so often found behind the piles of clothing when I arrived at the center after school. The piles were donations of clothes that needed to be folded and organized every single day so that those who came through the center could find the clothing that they actually needed. And so Grandma, she followed a God who was not big on lording or power over her followers, but on washing the feet of the followers, and so she folded. She washed too. Because as the day would draw to a close, she would ask my brothers and me to take a pile or two of clothing and place it into her car, and we'd fill up the trunk, and then we'd add a pile to our own lap, and then we'd all drive together to Grandma's house, and there she would wash and fold the donations in her own space. She could hardly keep up with the vast amount of donations, but that didn't stop her from getting as much as she could. And so I grew up seeing piles at the center and piles at her house, piles that was full time and it was overtime. Public life, private life, it was one continuous thing. It was without pay. And it was on behalf of those in need and those who really didn't need and took advantage of goodwill. And it was on behalf of those looking hard for work and those without work and not really trying. It was on behalf of those who were clean and those hiding poorly their addictions. It was on behalf of deserving and undeserving and everyone in between. John 3:16 declares that God's posture towards the world is love. There's no distinction about God loving those who are more responsible or more educated or don't struggle with a drug or an addiction. Nothing about God loving, not quite as much, those who doubt, those who don't even acknowledge God, those who constantly beat themselves up because they can name all the ways they absolutely don't deserve love. Perhaps most scandalously, there's nothing about God loving less those who lie or cheat or terrorize. The headline is this: God loves the whole world without distinction or merit or confession or lack of confession. It is as nonsensical and unfair as it is beautiful. It is as Marilynne Robinson states in her novel Gilead, which some of you read as the summer book club book, and she says, there is no justice in love, no proportion in it. It makes no sense at all because it is the eternal breaking in on the temporal. And nonsensical love is most fundamentally expressed when one's very self is given. God gives himself in the form of his son, Jesus. God gives God's whole self in life and death to an undeserving people. Every load of laundry Grandma did ensured deserving, undeserving people and everybody in the mix were dignified with fresh, scented clothing. And every pile she folded ensured thoughtful care was given to each person regardless. She gave without distinction, she gave without condemnation, but rather seeking to be part of the healing. For she herself knew that it was all an undeserved gift from God, all of what she had and all that she was. And so how could she not love likewise? Grandma, in her way with those piles, showed me John 3:16 was true news, because I could see the body of God on earth loving, just like John 3:16 talks about and proclaims. I also remember where my grandma situated her desk at the Valley Food and Clothing Center. That must sound quite unremarkable. But grandma put her desk right in the middle of the traffic flow that went through the center. Looking back as an adult, my first thought is, bad choice. We all know if you want to actually get something done, you need to put your desk behind a closed door, or at least off in a corner, or put some kind of divider around it. One thing is certain, you do not put your desk right in the center of all the foot traffic of volunteers and folks gathered for assistance and grandchildren running back and forth. But Grandma understood that her most basic call was not about the food or the clothing or even running an efficient nonprofit. It was most fundamentally about people. The interruptions and the conversations and the tears and the hugs and the prayers, even the conversions that happened because all the people constantly passing by her. That was her real call. And placing her desk right in the center of the chaos was the best way to ensure she could really love people. John 3:16 speaks of God giving God's very self in Jesus. And God gave God's very self specifically by coming right into our midst. Placing himself at the center of humanity's chaos was the best way to ensure he could really love us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And like those piles, Grandma's desk showed me that John 3:16 was a true headline because I could see the body of God on earth loving, just like John 3:16 talked about. I could see in her choice about the position of a desk, a posture towards the world that does not condemn or complain or try to do goodwill from a benignly judgmental distance, but gives oneself into the chaos of it all. I imagine we all have some Grandma Weatherbys, and hopefully quite a few. Those folks who are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, and so they give their gifts or the time and their money and really their whole self, and they make you say, John 3:16 really is true news, really good news. I can believe and trust God because I can see his body on earth this very day loving as he loves. I see their embrace, and so I see God's embrace. Indeed, fast forwarding a bit from my grandma's time on earth, I saw a John 3:16 moment just a week ago through one of you in this congregation. I was visiting an older congregant in healthcare, and the room, it's located at the end of this hallway where one wonders how many visitors really ever make their way down there or can even find it. Then the room itself is fairly bare and the sunlight is not good. But I look on the shelf, and there's something present on this shelf that wasn't there the last time I visited. It's 5 or 6 photos of the woman who is there, of her, and they were taken quite recently. One of them is a photograph of her next to another Grace Covenant member who was at the same place. And they're really great photos. They're incredibly well done, beautifully framed. I come to learn one of our members who has a gift for photography visited, took the photos, had the photos developed, gave the photos to a family member of the person who's there, and that family member had them all framed. It's the simplest of gestures in some ways. But what a beautiful thing that the church has found itself down a darkened hallway in a darkened room that will never come close to making the light of any sort of headline news. And there, the church offers her giftedness in the form of a photography. And what is left behind for this healthcare-bound congregant is a continual visual testimony which declares every single morning, amid all the bodily pain, perhaps all the regrets of the soul, all the failed aspirations, all the memories, good and heartbreaking and shuddering, God loves you. See how God's body on earth loves. We, of course, live in a society inundated with so many other news headlines that grab our hearts and our minds and continue to make us fearful and anxious and uncertain. But we as a church, we know the one headline that is truer and deeper than all the headlines. It's the one that's been there for 2,000 years. The problem is that so many in our world don't see the headline except perhaps in the end zone at a football game. And they certainly don't see any content to go along with the headline. No reason to suggest God's posture towards the world is one of love right now, bringing healing and reconciliation and life eternal. There's no news outlet that is filling everybody in with the content of the stories and the characters and the details of how the headline is unfolding. Of course, that's why God gave the church. We have been called out to proclaim the mighty deeds of God, as Scripture says. There is a reason I told three stories in my sermon today, three small stories. Because we are, as a church, are called to point out the good news stories, to point out the content of John 3:16 wherever we see it, to tell ourselves and one another where we see the body of God on earth giving itself, not in a posture of complaint or condemnation, but of love. The Bible has a word for this. It's called witnessing. And right now, our world needs some witnesses whose eyes of faith are trained and see and name and rejoice in the John 3:16 stories unfolding. Where have you seen the body of Christ giving its very self in love in the world? Where's the recent story? Who's involved? How would you tell it? What if the church was just as good and conversant about the content of John 3:16 stories as we usually are about the content of the ones that come through our phones and television and computers all the time? We need the content of these stories to be proclaimed and shared, the big ones, little ones, messy ones, finished ones, unfinished ones, for all of them alike are truer and deeper stories that assure us that God's love will prevail. The anxious headlines will not win the day. And all will finally clearly be able to read and see the final paragraph of content in John 3:16 story one day. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them and they will be his peoples. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite you to stand together as we sing, "We've a Story to Tell the Nations."
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled, "It's Love for Everybody," which was delivered by Reverend Bobby Hume Lippert. The congregation will now join in singing, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations," which is number 504 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
invite you to remain standing as we confess together what it is that we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Please join me in prayer. Our gracious and holy and merciful God, we give thanks that when you look upon this broken and violent and pained world, you somehow look with love. We give thanks that in Jesus Christ you embrace us all in our sin and our darkness, our hypocrisy and our hurts, our violence and our vanity. And in him you forgive us. You make us new. And we place our trust in you and are assured of life and life eternal. We pray this day that the embrace of love that we have known will be made known clearly and fully around this world. In Munich and Baghdad, Kabul and China. We pray for your church in each of these places. Empower them to be your hands and feet and voice of hope in these times. We recognize that in some of these particular places, your church is not large in number and not safe in public. And so by the same power that raised Christ from the grave, we pray you would empower them that they might love far more abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine. And we pray for those grieving in those cities this day that your comfort would be especially near. We pray for your church in this land as we continue with headline after headline that vies for attention and angst. Pour out your peace, which transcends all understanding, upon your church, that we might be rooted most fully in you and your hope amid the back and forth anxieties of this country. We pray, too, you would give us eyes to see where your love is at work. Show us the content of John 3:16 stories unfolding in our families, our churches, in and around our city. Show us the stories and help us proclaim them, share them, be shaped by them. More, help us be part of your story. Help us be faithful in all the small ways that stories emerge. Equip us, Holy Spirit, with your love and joy, your peace and forbearance, your kindness and goodness and faithfulness. And may those pour through us at this time. We are mindful of those this day who are sick or ailing or homebound and ask that you would be especially present to them during this service. May they know your word of life in their life even right now. And we pray that throughout the coming weeks they would continue to know the gift of the body of Christ who draws near in times like this. And now together we enfold our prayers into the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In response to God's love, God's goodness, God's grace in Jesus Christ, we are called and invited to give, summoned in many ways to give our lives, and certainly that includes how we steward our finances. You are invited to discern how God is calling you to give as the offering plates come around. And I'll remind you to please fill out your communication card and let us know that you're here. If there are ways we can follow up with you, and certainly if there are ways in this season we can be praying for you. Give as you're led.
I will.
God, we give thanks for your generous love made known through Jesus Christ, your Son. We give thanks for this undeserving love, and we give thanks for all the different people in our lives who have shown us what that love looks like. Thank you for those who have given us that love, who have shared that love, who have proclaimed that love. Take these, our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and use this in such a way that your great love might be proclaimed all the more this day to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing, remain standing for our closing hymn, God of the Ages, Whose Almighty Hand. Reminder, immediately after this service, there is a called congregational meeting, so all of our members are invited to remain as we look to vote on a couple vacancies, one on session, one on the trustees, and then look to install the elder onto session. After that, of course, Social Room has food and drinks for all to gather, and if you're not a member, you can certainly head down the hall and begin congregating in the Social Room immediately after this service.
For the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. Your announcer today has been Elizabeth Russell, and the engineer was Steve Kemp. The service streams live and can be accessed through the church's website, which is grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.